Inside Outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now,
we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now,
we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors with Don Jordan, Buddy Bill, and Rich Reardon gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues, and just down-home family fun. Inside Outdoors is an enjoyable and informative way to learn about what nature has to offer and how to be a good steward. You can find us at InsideOutdoorsRadio.com, and we invite you to write in about your fish stories, outdoor stories, favorite places, questions, or just about anything you want us to talk about on the show. So sit back with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich for another episode of Inside Outdoors.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliance.
That's right, Morrison's Appliances and Service on West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana. Serving Monroe County since 1954 with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
It's Inside Outdoors. This is Don Jordan with Rich Reardon and Buddy Bill. Hey, Buddy Bill, where are you?
I don't know.
Where
I
is
think
he?
He's still not feeling too good there, Buddy. I hope you're feeling better.
Let's get some vitamins going there. Get out and start digging some garden.
Yeah, it's about time to start doing that.
It is. It would be if it weren't for this weird weather we've been having.
Well, it has been kind of weird, hasn't it?
Yes, it's very strange. We got 3 inches of snow, and now we got rain. So.
Well, today's going to be high of 57 degrees.
Well, that sounds pretty good.
At least there's that.
And then it back down to the burr, though.
Well, we got a low of 39 tonight. Then we're going to be in the 20s again for a couple days. Then it's starting to look a little better. It looks like a high of 61 on Wednesday. So,
high of 61.
Can't beat that. And in the meantime, be around 50. So hopefully winter is leaving us.
Well, you couldn't tell by the water temperature at Lake Monroe, which is 17 degrees centigrade, which is around 35.
Ooh.
So it's still pretty cool out there.
Yeah. Man, I tell you what.
And we got to... Water level down at Monroe is 551.3. That's 13.3 feet above what it ought to be. And, you know, it takes quite a while to come down, so we're going to have some high water for a little while down at Monroe, it looks like. But,
And they really haven't been letting much out because of the flooding downstream. I don't know whether that's changed this week, but do they say anything about that?
No, they don't. They don't really.
Yeah,
this is just their report on water level and.
Well, I'll have to drive down the spillway and take a look here.
The pictures I saw a few weeks ago it was really high. You know, mm-hmm. Really high coming out of the dam. And that's what happens this time of year. That's just the way it goes. And up in the lake, high water. Can help. It sometimes can help fishing, and sometimes it hurts fishing. So mm-hmm. It all depends on what's going on with you and where you fish. And boy, a little sunlight and 70 degrees sure would be nice. You know, that'd help my fishing plan a lot.
It sure would.
So there's fish being caught, and lots of largemouth pictures showed up on Indiana Fishing on Facebook this last week. And if you remember, Don said last week that
yes, you did.
This is the March is a big bass month. And it proves to be true every year. If you watch for it, you see more bigger fish coming out this time of year than any other time. And that's the way to look. Here's a tip for you. You're not going to catch those fish fishing in 20 feet of water.
Yeah,
you're going to catch them up in the real shallow water that's got some sunshine on it and some weeds around the edge of it, maybe, and a little deeper water for them to hide off into.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just about the place where you got to look. And spinner baits are excellent early in the year. A lot of guys catch these bigger fish on spinner baits, but plastic, and by that I mean plastic worms and that sort of thing, will also do the job if you know how to fish them. So get out there, catch those fish.
Well, the hardy guys are getting ready to do that. I think it's not too bad. If it's going to be 60 and maybe, you know, it'll be a little cold in the right around now in the morning when it's 35, but if you can handle it for till the sun comes up, it's probably not too bad.
Those crappie fishermen, they put on all of their heavyweight stuff and their jumpsuits and their insulated jumpsuits and whatnot, and they'll get out there and fish when it's ice is forming in your line guide.
Right.
So I know that everybody is not put off by this colder weather.
All right. Well, listen, we got to take a quick break. We will be right back with more of Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and me, Rich Reardon. We'll be back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville. Also online at WFHB.org. Right now it's overcast, 35 degrees. We're going to be getting up towards 57 degrees with a chance of showers and then more showers. So it's going to rain today. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don Jordan, and Rich Reardon.
Yeah, we're back.
Yes, here we are. I'm looking over the Brown County clear cut story again.
Oh, man.
That's the clear cut on Indiana 135 north of Nashville.
Bean Blossom Overlook. Which we had a caller last week call in and ask us about. And I took a drive out there, and I was as shocked as he said he was that I would be. It is just absolutely unbelievable what they did. It's just unreal.
Yes, and the fact that there was the contract was written as to give these guys practically permission to cut the whole county, it looked to me like they'd have no... They gave him no margins to cut to, and let him clear cut us on the side of a hill, which hasn't been allowed for quite some time.
So I still don't really understand what the reason was. Was this just for logging?
Well, according to this is the Parks and Rec Department guy over there who's responsible for this. They had requests, quote unquote, from people in the community to restore the view of the overlook. Okay? Well, the overlook is on the other side of the highway from this nasty clear cut that mm-hmm. they did. So even if that's what they were planning on doing, was improving the overlook, they improved the overlook in the wrong direction. And the overlook now looks like a mud hole.
Yep.
And mud and silt is just streaming down off of those hills in this rain. And a little pond down there below it is looks like butterscotch, you know.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things you just can't understand how they let them do it. And in this case, they let them do it by not supervising. And writing a really bad contract, and you got to wonder if this guy who signed his contract, what dog he has in this fight. And of course, there was a couple of people who wrote in, tree boys, over there saying, "Oh, this will be so much better in 100 years than it is now." Well, yeah, I suppose it will. I hope it will. That's about what it'll take for that to grow back.
Yeah.
And if they don't cut it again in the meantime. A contract was signed between Brown County Parks and Recreation and Crowder Hardwood Properties in December. But it does not mention exactly where the cut was to take place, or whether it was to be a clear cut or a selective cut. It did mention that the department would receive $13,000 in full at contract signing for the cut, including work done in the valley and across the road at the picnic area above the overlook. Well, that was what the people really wanted to cut, was around that overlook over there where you could see the nice view. They got their compass exactly 180 degrees off there.
So $15,000, that sounds like...
$13,000
sounds like the price of one walnut tree.
Well, it could well be, especially if you get them bidding on them, you know.
So what did they do with all these trees? Who got the trees? This company was able to haul them all away?
Oh, yes.
Well, that's a pretty good deal, $13,000 and all the trees you can get.
Well, and they're practically all the decent trees, the nicer trees, used for veneer wood, which go for a pretty good price. And then they slice off a real thin piece of that log in a big roll, you know, a big continuous sheet to make, to be glued onto plywood or firewood or something like that and make it look like it's hardwood. That's, you know, your hardwood veneer, they call it.
Yeah.
So that's where most of that wood goes. The rest of it, wood products, wood chips, you know. Wood chips. Let's say we use wood chips to make particle board. We would use wood chips to help burn stuff. What else we use wood chips for? Nothing eats it. I guess to make bedding for your dog or your outside dog, your horse or something. Here's the 10 terms and conditions for this clear cut. This is in Brown County on 135. It's already happened. It includes 10 terms and conditions. Among them were that Crowder promised to smooth out any ruts caused by logging equipment, that all tops and non-usable stems, what would that be, would be left on the property to promote wildlife bedding, breeding, and habitat. All roads will be left with water division bars to prevent soil erosion, and 5 trees between the power line and the highway would not be cut. Now, isn't that sweet? You know, they saved those 5 trees between the power line and the highway.
That seems to be the only mention of what you should or shouldn't do with a tree.
It's just amazing. The county attorney has not returned answers to questions related to the reviews of this contract.
Well, sure, he doesn't want to have anybody in front of his house with a rail and a big old bucket of coal tar.
And feathers.
And feathers.
Well, you know, it doesn't sound like it was really the county attorney's problem. He didn't call him back on their deadline, the Parks and Rec deadline, for him to consult on it. So they just went ahead without his opinion, it's what it sounds like to me. Now, maybe the county attorney was negligent, probably, but the guys are really negligent in the Parks and Recreation Department. Oh man. So our telephone number here is 812-323-1200. If you got something you'd like to say about this clear cutting, and you know, this isn't the only clear cutting that's going on around here. There's clear cutting going on in literally every state forest right now, and massive. I might not just little areas, but big, big areas. And then we got the Forest Service chiming in by cutting the bottom lands up at the Middle Fork of Salt Creek at Lake Monroe. And they would guarantee us there's not going to be any erosion for that, you know. Oh, yeah. No erosion from that. That's going to be thousands of acres. Thousands. They start out with 1,500, I think, something like that, and eventually it would be 5,000 acres. That's a big, big logging project. And if you think that's not going to put some silt in Lake Monroe, you got to go down and take a look after that starts. It'll be chocolate brown up in there. So there we are. This is a guy from board president, Parks and Recreation president, Jim Hahn. We didn't decide for ourselves, this is a quote, we were going to do this. It's something people from the community had asked for. People from the community asked for that clear cut over there.
Well, I'd like to hear, if you've asked for that, give us a call so we can find out what your thinking was. I bet we'll get a lot of calls about that.
Well,
we just did get a call, and he didn't want to go on the air, but he told me that some of those old-growth trees there, the black walnuts, are worth $22,000 a piece.
Yeah, well, I suspect that's true. I wonder how many they took out of there.
I would imagine a lot. And, you know, when I looked over there, I did not see a well-thought-out plan as far as leaving brush around for animals and to stop erosion and everything. They went in there, they cut it, and they got out. That was all they did. And it's all mud, all of it.
Excuse me. Yeah, well, that's pretty much what happens after a clear cut.
Yeah.
And they just throw that language in there for breeding and, you know, habitat and just to cover them from not having to clean up their slash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, out west where there's got fire worries, that slash has to be cleaned up or it's going to be part of a big fire down the road.
Right.
That doesn't happen here. We're not too afraid of the fires, I guess.
Well, I tell you, there was no thought, absolutely no thought given to runoff or, you know, and it's just going to keep doing that for a long time. It's not going to it's going to be really, like all those creeks and that pond that we looked at the picture of, it's going to get worse. It's going to get filled up.
By the way, there is a picture of the clear cut, an aerial picture on our Facebook Inside Outdoors page. You scroll down a little bit, you'll see it there. It's not too far down.
Yeah.
And it's a mess. It really, what can you say? There's nothing ever pretty about a clear cut, except to the guys who are going to the bank with the money for the trees. So, there you go.
Well, you know, there's, like you were saying, that there's another one planned out at Lake Monroe. This one was only, what, 200 acres or 147
something? 147 acres.
147 acres. And it's a huge amount of, it looks huge. It looks bigger than that. 140 acres is a lot of acres. But
yeah.
The one in Monroe is way bigger than that.
5,000-6,000 acres.
Yeah. I mean, that makes that one look like nothing, and that's huge.
And it's also, a lot of it's going to be on steep terrain.
Right.
So it's all, there's going to be, I don't know, I guess you might as well forget about Lake Monroe filling up too fast, because it's going to fill up, with mud.
Yeah.
Well,
where are the experts that are supposed to understand that? I mean, if I, which have never had any training on forestry, you know, if I can figure out that it doesn't make sense, why wouldn't these people?
Well, it does make sense to your logger boys, because what makes sense to
money.
Them is to cut them all, and then they grow back, and they're new trees.
Right.
And we can cut them again in another 100 years.
Well, we're going to talk some more about it. Call in, folks, if you can. And we got to take a little quick break. We'll be right back here on Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, and what's left of it, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now, it's looking like it's 35 degrees, it's overcast, and we got a chance of showers then. For sure we're going to have some showers. So by this evening, we got a 100% chance we're going to see some rain. Then we're looking at low of 39 tonight. Sunday, a high of 48, partly sunny. Monday, sunny, 47 degrees. We're still going down into the 20s at night. Tuesday, high of 48. Wednesday, up to 61. So hopefully we'll start seeing some of those 50s running around in the next couple of weeks. And like Don says, it's really great fishing weather. We'll be right back.
It ain't a bunch of beans like they serve in the Navy. It's bacon and eggs, biscuits and gravy. Biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. Whole pot of coffee down to the dregs. When I get out of bed, my belly big. For biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs. That's biscuits and gravy, bacon and eggs.
Hello, we're back.
Great and tune.
I do have a caller on the line.
Oh,
so
good.
Hold on 1 second, and there you are. Can you hear us, caller?
I can hear you good.
All right, good.
Now, this is Dave Versailles in Orange County. You were talking about the clear cut of public property.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting ready to cut they're looking into cutting an 86-acre property in Orange County that is actually a park, belongs to the county. And the reason for that is they need to free up some money and get this property back on the tax rolls.
Mm-hmm.
As we deteriorate from a first world country towards a third world country, we start looking for ways to liquidate. And the timber is pretty much gone. I live down here in the Hoosier National Forest. I'm 71 years old. My family was in the timber business in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. The timber is pretty much gone. All the furniture factories and places that built high-quality furniture have gone. The Germans and the Japanese have bought up all the veneer, and that we're slowly becoming what Europe was in the 17th and 18th century. We're cutting off our woods. We're down to scrub land here, and that we're going to have to wait 100 years, maybe, if it can come back. But I have noticed that my woods and the woods around me that belong to the National Forest is really slowed down and growing. It's not a healthy woods anymore like it used to be. And I think that might be due to air pollution, or I really don't know. So I know that's a lot of information in such a short time, but that's just the way it is.
Well, we got trees dying all over, and of course we got some of those are ash trees and the problems they have, but I notice other trees are dying also, and I was kind of at a loss to figure out why that's happening. Like you say, it must be air pollution.
I've talked to foresters who call, they talk about the pine decline, and they talk about other declines, but they really don't have an answer either. I don't want to mention any names, but these people are coming from a different direction than I am. I was raised on a farm. I was raised in the woods. And my people's always been tree people until the past 25 years. Now we're not tree people anymore. And what we've got in this country is farms without farmers, farmers without farms. We've got timbermen without woods, and we've got woods without timbermen. Things have changed, and it's not for the good, I'm afraid.
I like the way you put it there.
Thank you. I'm going to hang up and listen to some more show. I appreciate what you guys are doing. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Appreciate your call. Well, yeah, that was said very well. And Hoosier National, they've been doing a lot of pulling stuff out of that for a long time, I know. So.
Well, back when Frank McCloskey was our congressman, he went down to Hoosier National after a big clear-cut operation, and is probably pretty famous by anybody who was around there, remember, said, it looked like Apocalypse Now.
Yeah.
And you know, that's exactly what it does look like, but minus the bomb craters, of
right.
course, but and the dead people. But we got dead trees and dead animals and animals that are just going to slowly die because they don't have any place to live anymore, no shelter, no food. And way to go, Purdue.
Well, and it's true, like even that area in Brown County, you're going to start seeing the displaced critters are going to be coming to find other places to eat and to hang out, and it's going to be quite an interesting change in that area.
Well, it's every time you cut a patch of woods, no matter where it is, you're going to automatically kill a bunch of animals. You're going to kill squirrels. You're going to kill salamanders, snakes, chipmunks, raccoons, maybe some deer, although they're more mobile than the smaller animals. Just actually the list of living things that gets killed in a clear cut is probably too long for me to ever list here on this show in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever mentions that. But when you think about it, you know, say the house, the subdivision you live in. Now, chances are there was probably some trees on that before they made it into a subdivision.
Sure.
And how many animals do you think your house sacrificed in order for you to build that house?
Mm-hmm.
And in order for the contractor to make some money and everybody else to make money? That is, you know, the guy, the caller we had just a little bit ago said that we used to have tree people, you know, in mm-hmm. this country. We don't have tree people anymore. What we have now is green people, meaning money people. It's money, 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 money. That's money is the only thing that is considered for any problem solving. Mm-hmm. You know, how much money can we make more money by destroying this forest? Yeah, well, let's do it. You know, it's just so disgusting. And after a lifetime of this kind of thing, especially right here at the Hoosier National and the state of, although the state of Indiana was pretty good until the last, 10 years or so since Mitch Daniels showed up. That's when the attack on the Indiana State Forest Indiana-owned state forest began. And, boy, it's really picked up speed.
Well, I was going to mention, I did mention that I was going to mention it, and that's coming up right now. And what it is they have now come up with a way of using solar energy to make hydrogen. And so it's called Hypersolar, and they've developed this technology that makes renewable hydrogen using sunlight and any source of water. So you can even use seawater. And renewable hydrogen is the cleanest of all and greenest of all fuels because it doesn't really produce any CO2 when it's burned.
Water.
It's just basically going to, produce some water. And so it's better than natural gas. And now if you can make it out of seawater, there's plenty of fuel, you know. And all this stuff has been out there for a long time. Matter of fact, I have a few friends in the military industry, naval industry, that have said that there's a lot of these destroyers and things now running around, running on hydrogen, that have been doing this for a long time. And it's really not a technology that they want out there, you know, because it doesn't sell gas. It doesn't sell oil, which we put billions and trillions of dollars into making sure that the oil keeps flowing for us, you know.
Well, that's because the oil and gas industry gives billions and billions of dollars to the politicians to keep that oil flowing.
Right.
And, you know, it's a big scratch my back deal. And everything in politics is a scratch. It's all money. Everything they talk about is the bottom line.
Yep.
And I guess it's probably always been that way to some degree. I'm not very happy about it. I'm sick of it. I really am. I really am.
Well, we were discussing that with a friend of mine last night, and if people believe it, you know, talk about this fake news thing. If you believe the fake news, then it is real news to you. So you need to educate yourself and find ways of really finding out what's happening, because it's got to change. It has got to change.
Well, it's got to change, but it probably isn't going to. I'm not very optimistic about the whole thing. And considering the population increases that are coming and the climate change that's going to reduce the amount of land drastically in parts of the United States, people are going to get more and more compacted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you start getting that compacted rat syndrome, you know, where they start attacking each other. Well, we're already attacking each other, and it's just getting more and more. Certain people are getting attacked more than other people, and that'll probably get worse. There'll be new people getting attacked, you know, new groups of people getting attacked and murdered and shot by police and poisoned by the water that they're drinking because the state can't come up with a fix for drinking polluted water. The binds that we're in just make no sense. You hear them start talking about it. Well, why haven't they fixed that Michigan drinking water? Why haven't they? Well, I don't hear any answers coming from up there, do you?
Well, I hear them talking about spending a whole lot of money in other places that's absolutely not needed. So
yeah.
You would think that someone would want to fix that problem for those people.
Yeah, well, somebody doesn't, and of course that's probably because they're not white Anglo-Saxons, and that seems to be the main differentiation in our country now. And I'd hate to say that this is a racist country, but my gosh, it sure looks like it more and more all the time, doesn't it?
It certainly does. When I was growing up, and I'm a little younger than you, but I lived through the civil rights movements and things, and it seemed like things were getting better. But there was a lot of that, obviously, that's been kind of under the surface, and now people feel it's okay to bring that out. Let it fly.
Well, it wasn't very far under the surface, but it was kind of under the surface, you know, and... Yeah, we thought things were going pretty good there for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
But we don't think so much anymore that it's going so well, especially people that are getting shot in their backyard with their cell phone in their hand, stuff like that.
Well, I think we all have to, you know, take stock. I mean, this is, we can talk about politics and sociology all day, but even just with things like these clear cuts and things, try to get involved. Call somebody in your local government. Go to meetings if you can. People don't tend to want to drive down and attend a city council meeting or whatever anymore, and you pretty much end up seeing the people that are going there to yell are the ones that you see every month, and people don't want to do that. You know, they don't want to sit through that. And it's time that we start everybody going down there and trying to make yourself known, because like you said, it's turning into a third world country, and I don't think any of us want that. If you it's just a little education, you'll realize that there's some things are worth more than just a few bucks.
Well, that third world country stuff is true. There's no place that's more true than that than in the mining industry. And back to the mining industry, we sell mining claims to foreign countries for ridiculous amounts of money, like $1.92 an acre,
right?
You know, and they can have that for 99 years as long as they make an improvement. An improvement being a coal mine, a gold mine, a platinum mine, any kind of a mine. Well, you're golden, and that the laws that govern that were passed in 1872. There's been attempt after attempt after attempt to change that, but the big money from the mining industry comes out every time there's an attempt, and those attempts disappear.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does go on and on and on, and a lot of this, we're also looking at tearing up some of the national parks out west. Even the problem that happened when the government got shut down really affected a lot of the parks in a very negative way, too. I mean, look at Joshua Tree. The people, I don't know why they feel like they have to do this, but they went out there and started chopping down the trees and running into them with their trucks. And making a big mess of everything. And
well, I'll tell you why they did it, because that means that land is not going to have to be protected anymore. For,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, well, that means we can do anything we want out there.
Right.
You know? Get that mine ready. Let's have a gold mine out here, you know? So that's the reason why they do that stuff. That's the reason why they like these massive prescribed burns, because that creates a lot of dead trees to be logged.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've never really had a lot of animosity towards the timber industry. I mean, everybody has a right to live and make a living, but when it comes to totally decimating one of our natural resources, one that actually is helpful to have, our trees, I was talking about. It's just beyond belief now. You know, 99% of Indiana's tree cover was cut over 100 years ago. And now we're cutting the 1% that we have left.
Right.
The 1% of trees that we have left standing in this state are being decimated. And everybody knows it. Nobody has enough power to do anything for it because the money boys are in power. Boy, there you go.
Yeah.
Anybody got any suggestions out there?
Well, maybe next week, because we're running out of time here. Yeah. I just hear the music starting. That means we got less than a minute to say goodbye to everybody. I'm sorry we had such a talk about some pretty tough things going on right now. But, losing our trees is a real big thing.
When you get tired of thinking about that stuff, go fishing.
Yeah, go fishing. If the water's not too muddy.
Well, probably okay at Lake Monroe, at least in the lower end.
Now. Hey, well, thank you so much for listening, everybody, and we will be back next week. And have a nice week. It's going to be a little warmer out there, and watch out for the rain today. See you later. Bye.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Inside Outdoors is brought to you by Morrison's Appliances and Service, serving Monroe County since 1954 at 900 West Kirkwood Avenue in Bloomington, Indiana, and all with eco-friendly service, pickup, and delivery. For more info, visit morrisonsappliancesandservice.com. Be sure to tune in next week for more Inside Outdoors with Buddy Bill, Don, and Rich, and listen online anytime at insideoutdoorsradio.com.
So thanks, everybody, for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Hello, we're back.
Yeehaw, did you get your biscuits and gravy?
I did not.
Bacon and egg?
But I wish I did.
I didn't either this morning.
I'll be kind of hungry by the time we get out of here.
I do have my cup of coffee sitting here. I don't think I could make it over here without that.
Yeah.
And there's a little traffic downtown Bloomington this morning. I don't know what's going on. Oh, today's we got a basketball game today. Is that here, I wonder, a Rutgers game?
I don't know whether it's here or not.
Anyway, hey, those Hoosiers looking pretty good lately. They played a really good game the other night. And have a chance to get in the tournament, where they say, after losing 12 of 13 games, and we got a chance to get in the big tournament.
Sounds like they got to keep winning.
Well, they do. They got to win this Rutgers game today, and then they have to at least probably be nice if they won the conference tournament, but I doubt they'll do that. You never know, though. You know, their improvement in the last four games has just been it's a different team. I don't know what happened. Archie says he got him enthused. Well, I wish he'd have got him enthused about 13 games ago. But they're doing a good job now, and we like you. We like you players, and we like you coaches, and we'd just like to not get embarrassed by Purdue again.
Caller says Rutgers game is tomorrow.
Rutgers game is tomorrow. Oh, yeah. It's Sunday. Okay, Sunday. Where is it? Caller,
that I didn't hear.
Well,
I'm gonna look it up as we talk here, though.
Anyway, that's one of the last big deals of basketball will be this Big Ten tournament. Of course, we got the high school boys are still going, and this is the time of year that you always get snow. You know, they always say during the boys basketball tournament, and well, we sure did this year. And I guess you could say the same thing applies to the girls' basketball tournament because it snowed during their tournament, too.
And that will be at here. It's Rutgers at Indiana.
Rutgers at Indiana. So there could be a little traffic around town tomorrow, although I don't know how many people from New Jersey would be driving out to Indiana for that. Might be some. You never know. But be the last chance you might have. Well, you got the tournament up in Chicago this year.
Yeah.
The Big Ten tournament is. And that's, boy, what a pain in the neck to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if it was up in Indianapolis?
It would.
You can get in and out of there, and there's places to park. And,
right.
You know, it doesn't cost you an arm and a leg. Well, anyway, that's the way it's going to be. We're about ready to enter the I'd say one of the most exciting athletic events that happens every year, and that's the NC2A basketball tournament. And a lot of people get a lot of joy out of that tournament. And I got to say, I'm one of them. I'm a fan. I am a basketball fan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't, well, you're in the wrong state.
That's true.
Okay. Well, what else we got going on out there today?
Well, we were talking about the forests, and we talked about another clear cut, but there's another thing going on, which is going to be in the Morgan Monroe, and also I'm not sure. I knew there were two places simultaneously, but there's a prescribed burn that's going to happen also, I'm guessing, somewhere up in that same area of, you know, below Martinsville and on into Brown County somewhere.
Well, whatever they can do to destroy the forest, they're going to do. And they'll say, oh, we're making this healthier. Well, you're making it healthier by cutting them all down. And maybe they will be healthier, but in 100 years. And for the people who live there now, that's going to be an ugly mess for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's kind of like the fisheries guys going out and poisoning a stream to get rid of the wrong kind of trout because they want to have pristine, ungenetically messed up cutthroat trout. They poison all the trout,
right,
and then leave it fishless for years and until the insects come back, and eventually the fish come back to prey on those insects. But in the meanwhile, that's a fishless stream. If you live on it, and you're just looking out over some dead water.
Yeah.
And, well, sometimes to save a place, you do kill it, I guess. Kill it first and then hope it lives. Something like that.
I really don't see any use for clear cutting. I just don't see any reason for it anywhere, really, other than it's easier on the loggers.
Well, yes, that's the reason for it, because it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheap, much cheaper to cut it all, load it up, skid it out, haul it out.
Yeah.
If you got to go through and select trees or have somebody go around and mark the trees you can cut, well, then you got it. You could spend a whole day going around trying to find those trees, you know?
Well, you know.
And then you could cut them down.
Seems like trading one day for 100 years would be a worthwhile trade.
As they say, the waters around there all look like, this one guy says, chocolate milk right now.
Yeah.
Probably not that unusual for this time of year, but wow, it's pretty thick. It looks like you could track a raccoon across it. And
well, that's another thing, is that over time, there's going to be a lot of that topsoil that's lost off of that hill too. It's on a hill. I mean,
yes,
it's not just the trees. It's so many other things that are lost out there. I mean, on top of the habitat that's already been, that's gone.
They've always, Brown County logging features cutting on the sides of hills, and I can't tell that they really cut back on that too much. But one thing for sure is those foresters with those Purdue degrees on how to take care of the forest, they're doing a fine job. They're doing a fine Purdue job on our state forests this year and last year, year before, and probably going to continue until we get some kind of different thinking in Indianapolis and at the DNR,
yeah,
which is dominated by business interests. And when you got business interests, they don't care too much about clear cuts or erosion. What they care about is money in the bank. Money in the bank, buddy.
DNR, do not resuscitate.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's...
It's been irritating and everything through the years, but now it's getting out of control. It's just, you just can't do this sort of thing. And that's what Brown County's all about, is the trees, the beauty of the, of it should be in a giant state park.
Well, yeah, it's, I don't know, Brown County, and actually it's the entire state, is all the state forests are suffering right now, and they're just going to keep cutting and keep cutting, and they already have cut into the supposedly untouchable big trees area at Morgan Monroe State Forest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say there's no reason for them to stop until, like I say, we get some new thinking, and I'd sure like to see some new thinking on the terms of the Division of Forestry. And maybe they should take their Purdue forestry degrees and move out west, where they'll let you do anything, practically. Although you got to clean up your slash because of fires, they might not like that, you know. So they would be figuring some way to lazy around that. So,
well, you know, another thing is that you just have... there's other things that we can use, and this goes back into our talks about energy and everything else. I was looking at hemp plastics. Have you ever heard of hemp plastic?
I haven't, but, you can make plastic out of about anything.
Well, it's not really plastic, but it looks like plastic. It's it's biodegradable. They're finally getting around to legalizing hemp, or actually they did, but it's still a state issue. And, of course, there's all kinds of regulation because you don't want any of those special plants in the middle of the field along with the rest of them. But just hemp itself is something that could really change a lot because, it makes all kinds of things that trees don't have to make anymore. So you can literally have a crop and grow it in places where soybeans and corn used to be, and it still makes a lot of good money, and it can be used for tons of things, like clothing, like utensils, things. You'd just be surprised what you can make out of it. It's amazing. And the plastic problem is huge in this country right now and all over the world. We've got to stop using plastics. Especially for one use things like, down at your McDonald's or whatever. And
how about your plastic bottle of water?
Your plastic bottle of water is unbelievably bad.
And the number of those is incredible, really. There's a picture the other day of one of these plastic floating islands or floating land masses that was down in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's as far as you could see. And local people have been making little scooper mechanisms. So they can scoop up this plastic and take it back in to the land and recycle it, which is what should have been done in the first place, but they're actually making money off of it. So here we go. We got pollution as a resource, and everybody said that would happen one day, and it is happening.
It's quite a resource.
It is happening. Well, it is a resource. Every landfill is full of what will eventually be valuable refuse, metals and toxic chemicals, and you name it. All that stuff will be, those landfills will be remined someday. That place over in Terre Haute where we send our stuff to landfills, I bet that thing's a treasure trove, and some big outfit like, Alcoa will be buying up those landfills.
Right.
And mining them someday. So let's hope they do a better job of cleaning up.
Yeah. Well, speaking of environmental issues, there's also another disaster in the Pacific, the Solomon Islands. Did you read about that?
I've heard, a little. I don't really know much about it.
A big, huge oil spill. They got a tanker sitting on a coral reef, one of the best coral reefs in the whole world, and it's just dumping oil all over it.
Yeah, well, that's
the people can't fish, they can't swim, they can't use their, that's how they make their livelihood. They live on an island. They can't leave. It's surrounded by oil now.
Yes, isn't that wonderful? The modern conveniences that oil brings us.
Everybody knows this, and I don't know why people aren't getting more upset about it, but we have solar, we have other ways of getting energy that you just know that if we started focusing on it, it's going to bring jobs. It's, coal is gone. You can mine some of it that's left, but usually what do they do? The mountaintop removal coal mining, which again, is just like clear cutting the forest, only worse because you're blasting out the top seams and getting rid of the tops of the mountains.
Yes, and the tops of the mountains now cover the valleys below and the streams and all the animals that live there.
Yeah. So, for what? That is taking jobs of miners. As I went through this whole thing with the movie Coal Country, as I've talked about for years, it was just amazing that you have coal miners that are, they're still, rattling the sabers about wanting to have their jobs and stuff, but the jobs are over. There's some jobs, but even most of the coal companies, they don't want to pay the pensions. They go back bankrupt, and then they go ahead and blast out the coal that's there, and that doesn't bring jobs to anybody, because that's the whole point. You can blast it, and you don't need to pay miners.
Well, something sticks in my head is if somebody said, when you were doing hard rock mining, deep mining, you had thousands of coal miners.
Right.
Now you're doing this kind of mining, you've got maybe 40 coal miners on that same project.
Right.
So, there's jobs to be had, but they're not by the coal miners. They're by the guys that make the heavy equipment and the guys that own the coal land and the guys that sell it, and et cetera, et cetera. And, on and on.
Well, and the same thing about Brown County, as we're talking about. A lot of these towns in West Virginia and other places, it's Kentucky, it's Virginia, it's Pennsylvania, and elsewhere, a lot of these places could have sustainable economies with art, you know, artsy fartsy places to go and enjoy the forest and things like that, and bring jobs and opportunities into the areas, but they still have this coal mentality, and that's where, you know, some of the politicians that are there are just so corrupt that it's just not going to change for a while. And you got a president now that's talking about clean coal again.
By the way, I just saw an interesting stat on the internet yesterday or day before that since the new change in politics in America, there have been 20,000 jobs lost in the solar electricity industry.
Right.
20,000 jobs. And that's just, you know, they're not really attacking it yet.
Yeah, those are the ones that were lost. What about the ones we could have grown?
Yeah.
And that's in the thousands and tens of thousands and more. I mean, it's literally something that everybody could do everywhere. And I'm going to get to another topic when we come back. I hear the music again, so we got to take another quick break. But they've made some pretty big advances in terms of energy recently. And one in particular has to do with solar, and I'll talk about that in a minute. In the meantime, 812-323-1200. Feel free to give us a call. And I'd love to hear from somebody from Brown County that's seen that situation, but we'll be back in just a few minutes.
See y'all.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
You're listening to WFHB here in Bloomington, Indiana. And we are volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 109.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And right now it is 35 degrees in downtown Bloomington. Chance of showers, then more showers likely tonight. It's going to be a high of 57 degrees today, so at least it's going to be that. And then showers and mostly cloudy and breezy all night long, low of 39. Sunday, beautiful day, partly sunny, up to about 50, and then partly cloudy that night, low of 27. High of 47 on Monday. Tuesday, high of 48, both days looking sunny. And then Wednesday, we got a slight chance of showers and up to 61 degrees. Be right back.